Just a heads up, the Razzball Baseball Podcast might not be for all audiences. You have been advised. Hi, it's Nick. Well, there's very few certainties in life, but one thing that is set in stone is you can always project a player's season stats based on the first week of the season. Quite frankly, I don't know why we play the entire year. Let's just give the MVP to Chris Davis, the Cy Young to Kershaw, and Rookie of the Year to someone who'll be called up in May. Simple. Okay, well, in case any of you insist on playing out the season, I guess we'll do a podcast anyway. Man, sometimes these guys are demanding. So we have a new writer at Razzball, The Guru. We'll let you know what early season buzz might be worth paying attention to. No pressure with that name. You better show up, Guru. Jay Wrong is going to shoot the shit with us today, so hilarity will ensue, or at least Jennifer Lawrence will be brought up. We'll also discuss how Rudy and I did in the first Play with Rudy from Razzball contest. I'm still kind of pissed off that doesn't say Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball at DraftKings.com. And of course, you can always interact with the podcast with me on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi. All that plus Rudy Gamble. We had to tape early this morning, and trust me, you do not want to meet an uncaffeinated gray. It's the Razzball podcast for the week of April the 8th, 2013. Here we go. Podcast. So we've got a new writer over at Razzball.com. He goes by the name of Guru. No pressure there. You can follow The Guru, a.k.a. Glenn, at GuruGSimpson03 on Twitter. You know, Glenn, I'd love to know who locked up GuruGSimpson01 and 02. Bastards. How you doing, Glenn? Welcome to the podcast.
There must be more than one Guru somewhere.
Listen, Glenn, the real issue is there must be more than one Guru G. Simpson somewhere. Let's be honest. I think that makes you more of an intermediate. You know, you're like a blue belt tops.
I love the Twitter world.
Hey, so Razzball Nation, just to get you up to speed, Glenn was a top 40 DJ back in the early 90s. So not only does he know fantasy, he is also your expert on New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC.
NSYNC, Debbie Gibson, Little Milli Vanilli here and there. Those were good times. Those were good times.
Can you cue up a song for us? And now you just hang out and watch Red Sox games.
Hell yeah, Red Sox, we're doing well. I'm not going to rub it in on you after that Toronto series.
Okay, let's move on. So, Glenn, in honor, obviously, of your DJing past, you do write a column called Jam It or Cram It.
Exactly.
So let's discuss some of the early season buzzy pickups that you've been writing about with Jam It or Cram It. You had one, a post yesterday. We'll talk about those first two players right off the bat. Let's start with Jackie Bradley Jr. Is he a guy you want to jam or cram? And actually, as I said that, maybe I'm thinking we need to rework the title of this segment.
I think I heard a little hint of DJ voice coming out of you, Nick.
Listen, it's because you're on, buddy. I feel like I should be introducing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's Disco Glenn.
Time to jam it or cram it in my cheesy radio voice guy. Okay, Jackie Bradley Jr., they're ready to build a statue next to Ted Williams of him here in New England. I'm sorry to say I'm going to have to put him in the cram category, all right? It was great. He had three walks opening day with against CC Sabathia. That was all good. I mean, Carl Crawford only had two walks in his... he only had three walks twice in his career with the Red Sox. So I'm going to have to put OBJ in the Kremet category. The guy's hitting 176. He wasn't in the lineup for opening day of Fenway Park, and it looks like he's starting to get exposed. We'll give him another week, but for right now, we're going to keep him in the cram category.
Okay, Glenn, and let me just ask you quickly, what are we using for our measuring stick here? Is this for 10-team, 12-team leagues?
Well, I would say, with Jackie Bradley Jr., 10-team, 12-team, I'm going to keep him in the cram category. If it's bigger than 12, maybe he's worth a flyer, but for right now, I'm going to cram it.
Okay, and just so you and I are on the same page, going forward, we'll use 12-team leagues as our standard, okay?
Okay.
All right, next up we have Gerardo Parra, or as they would say in Massachusetts, Parra.
Gerardo Parra.
Parra.
Mr. Rico Suave himself. Now, this is a guy...
Massholes.
This is a guy that I picked up last week, and he really helped me out over the weekend when Braun had the stiff neck or whatever he's got going on with him there. Parra hitting leadoff now for the Diamondbacks, and leadoff is right where he should be because he's a career 310 leadoff hitter, OBP of 366, slugging 483 from the leadoff, and what a week he had. I mean, he's hitting 458. He's got a homer, four doubles, a triple, a steal, and Adam Eaton's not going to be back until mid-May at least. And when you're talking a guy with a UCL injury, maybe all-star break for Adam Eaton. So I'm going to put Mr. Parra in the jam category. You're looking at a guy that could give you a 300 average, 15 homers, 25 stolen base potential. That's if he can hit lefties. He's 256 in his career against lefties. He hit 277 last year. We'll see what he does. He's available right now in about 60% of the leagues. I'm going to put him in the jam category.
Okay, good stuff. Also, just from a real baseball point of view, he's a terrific fielder, so they always want to try and keep him in the lineup if possible. Glenn, what we'll do, just for the sake of time, let's go through three more guys, but we'll do them real quick. First up, are we jamming or cramming Colin Cowgill?
I'm going to have to put Mr. Cowgill in the cram category. I know it was exciting opening day. He had the grand slam. He's out there in 90% of the leagues right now, but Mr. Matt might love him, but I don't. I'm throwing him in the cram category.
All right, and let's talk about two catchers real quick. Are we jamming J.P. Arencibia?
Absolutely. He's available 80% of leagues right now. He's got three homers. He's a guy I definitely want.
All right, good stuff. And what about, last but not least, from the Chi Sox, Tyler Flowers?
Well, Tyler Flowers is an interesting guy. I mean, right now he's hitting 410. Got a couple homers, four RBI, four-run score, but he strikes out a lot. I mean, five times this week. 30% of the time this guy's going to strike out. But by the end of the year, he could lead all catchers in homers. He could hit 33 bombs, but the average is going to be about 225, and he's going to strike out a ton. But if you're waiting around for a guy like, say, Salvador Perez or Jesus Montero to get hot, Flowers might be a guy you pick up for a week or so.
All right, good stuff. Glenn, listen, appreciate it. Just to recap, if you have any 90s boy band questions, Glenn is the guy. You can read his column, Jam It or Cram It, on Razzball.com. And please, always bring up those boy bands in the comment section. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, Nick, take it easy.
We're idiots. There's no other way to intro Jay Wrong's bold predictions. Sup, Jay?
How you doing?
I'm really good. You actually went really bold here, and to be honest, I could see some of these happening. I'm going to go out of order. By the way, this was a two-part column you wrote on Razzball.com called Jay Wrong's Bold Predictions, obviously. Let me start with one that is really interesting to me because I have Everett Cabrera everywhere this year. 292 career minor league hitter I don't have the plate appearances in front of me, but basically in, you know, half or 60% of a season last year, swiped 40 bags. You're saying he could steal 70 bases this year out of the shortstop slot. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I like it too. I mean, obviously, I think the community knows I'm a Padres homer, so so I can be sort of an apologist for them. But when you get down and look at the stats, I mean, like you said, in 400 at-bats last year, he stole 44. But most of that damage came later in the year when he got a starting gig, took over shortstop. So from 39 games, from August 16th on, he stole 25 bases. That's a lot. I mean, just to put that in perspective, Justin Upton stole, 18 all year. So in that time span, he basically he stole more than probably about two-thirds of the league.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what's interesting is that if you got even 40 steals out of him and he hit closer to 290 than the 244 he hit last year, I mean, that's like that's a sixth or seventh round guy out of the shortstop. It's Elvis Andrus, right?
Right. I mean, to be honest, he does have plenty of contact issues. I mean, this isn't really an upside guy, but what you're counting on is the speed to play, because that makes it his batting average BABIP driven. So if he's able to leg out these hits, if he gets a little bit of good luck, his ceiling is probably 270, 280, but it won't be a drain to your batting average around there. But even if he hits 240, or 250, which I'm guessing, if he gives you those three stolen bases, that's pretty darn good for a late rounder.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's talk about another one that is quite a dramatic prediction. Bryce Harper will hit 40-plus home runs and steal 25-plus bases. I mean, forget waiting till he retires to put him in the Hall of Fame if he does that as a 20-year-old.
Yeah, I saw a lot of bold predictions out there saying that, well, he's going to be a top five guy. Maybe he'll put up a season like Mike Trout. I mean, that's all hedging to me. It's being very vague. So I just wanted to go all out. I mean, I actually live in the metro area right now, so I see this guy. And, when you go to games, certain players, they're special when you see him live, like Strasburg. When you hear his pitch hit the catcher's mitt, there's a different sound. And the same is true with Bryce Harper. When he makes contact on the ball, it's hard. The best way I can describe it is when Frank Thomas hit the ball. You just knew that there was something special about that. So I see him definitely getting the 40 home runs. The stealing bases, maybe, but this guy has 80 power. So I think saying that he's the number one baseball player next year is where I'm going with that.
Wow. That is really bold. But you know what? Again, I could see it happening. And even though you put out bold predictions here, pretty much everything that you wrote, I could absolutely see happening. This is the only one I had a real tough time getting my head around, so let me throw it out there to you and try and get your thoughts on it. Jeff Samardzija, who I hope to have the pronunciation of his name good by the end of the year, will have a lower ERA and WHIP and have more strikeouts than Justin Verlander. That is bold.
Yeah. The thing is, and again, with Samardzija, sometimes I wonder if it's harder to say his last name or type it. I think maybe it's easier to say, because I could literally type S and A and then mash my head on the keyboard and come within 80% of spelling his, name right. But the thing with this one is I noticed a lot of Verlander owners hated me for it, and a lot of Samardzija owners loved me for it. So I think that's the way it goes. But if you look at what he did last year, I think they're closer than you think. And even though Verlander is the bee's knees, Jeff Samardzija pitches in the NL. His fastball is basically the same velocity as Verlander's, which is, one and two in the league. And I think he's coming off a year where you see even more strikeouts.
Okay, here's one that I could see happening, but I am a sucker for contract year players, and I am having a hard time getting my head around Robinson Cano will not have a batting average higher than 275 and will not hit 20 homers.
Yeah, I had a hard time with this one, too. I got a little flack on me. I mean, the community is always nice. I mean, they're not, going to spend 300 characters complaining about a 200-character blur, but there are a couple of rumblings in it. The thing of it is I simply went with second base aging curves. Guys like Edgardo Alfonso, Roberto Alomar, Carlos Baeger, the list goes on of these great, I mean, even now, Chase Utley, these great second basemen who just fall off a cliff. They just stop producing, whether due to age or erosion of skills. And I picked him just because he had such an amazing year last year. He had a career high in home runs. He had the highest walk percentage of his career, highest slugging. So regression will happen. To what extent, we don't know. But if you combine that with his age, I just felt I wanted to go, again, bold. That's the name of the game. So I just wanted to go with that. It's 275. It's hard to it's hard to justify that, but, you know, I wanted to go out on a limb with that one.
All right, now here's the last prediction I'm going to bring up, and this one is pretty bold, but I could also see it happening. Jennifer Lawrence will break up the marriage of an aging fantasy baseball podcast host. Where's that insight coming from, J-Rong?
Wait, are you saying she's with you? I mean, I should be hosting then, because I think that's the way the story should work. Because otherwise it's sad pants, you know?
I said aging.
Oh.
I didn't say anything about her love of kimchi, okay?
Okay.
Hey, speaking of which, the reason we're taping early today is I'm going on vacation this week. I'm heading down to Phoenix. I don't know that I'll find any Korean food in Phoenix, but I'm definitely going to do some sort of food report when I come back. Because there are some really good restaurants in Phoenix.
Okay.
Hey, listen, because you're in Northern Virginia, right?
Yes, I am.
What is the one thing to eat? Let's say in the Beltway, I don't even know what you said metro area. Let's say metro area. What's the one thing? If I was coming down to the metro area, what's the one thing I should eat?
Well, there's actually two things. The first is every person knows about it out here. It's Ben's Chili Bowl. They make the best chili dog, which you want is a half smoke. I mean, Obama was there, Bill Cosby, just a tons of people visit there. It's one of those bastions that will always be there. And then on top of that is basically any. Oh, that's right there
in D.C.?
In the center of D.C., so.
Okay.
You could literally pull a person off the street and be like, hey, where's Ben's Chili Bowl? And they'll direct you to it.
Okay.
And they also have one at the Nats ballpark, so. But the second thing is you can go to any faux place here. It'll be great. So there's a lot of great Vietnamese places out here.
See,
so.
Okay, hold on, though. I thought it's pronounced pho. Isn't it pho?
Yeah, but you got to add the whiteness out here. I would rather do pho, but no one knows what you're talking about. They look at you like, for instance, if I say you're out here, they'll give me a dirty look and say, no, it's gyro. And I'll be like, man, that just sounds bad, you know? It's the Virginia thing. It's the Mason-Dixon line is where a hippie meets redneck, and it's kind of a weird mix.
I love that you made a gyro reference. El anicos, for why you get the gyro?
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to sound, I think.
All right, listen, good stuff, J-Rong. Of course, they can follow you on Twitter at J-Rong. Thank you, by the way, for tweeting out the Jennifer Lawrence gif. Really appreciate that.
Oh, and also, just really quick, with the Jennifer Lawrence gif, I set up a Tumblr. So if people follow me on Twitter, I'll be uploading gifs I make of Jennifer Lawrence, of baseball, of whatever. So.
All right. We will talk to you soon, J-Rong.
All right. Take care, Nick. Thank you.
The Daily Fantasy Sports Report.
Brought to you by DraftKings.com. You, of course, can follow them at DraftKings on Twitter. Okay, so last week we start the, I'm going to call it the Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, but this is under protest. Should be the Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball contest at DraftKings.com. And it was a huge success. Well, at least it was a huge success for Rudy, who finished third, which is actually pretty good. I finished 13th, which is not as good. But anyway, it was still a lot of fun. So the next contest is going to be this Wednesday. That is Wednesday, April the 10th. There's room for 50 people from Razzball Nation. That is it. Not only is it only $5 to get in, which is great value, but a couple things to point out. One is that the winner, aside from winning money, is going to win a ticket into the April 12th $150,000 walk-off contest. That's a $200 value, where first place gets $50,000. I'll get back to that in a second. But the winner of the Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball contest is going to get the opportunity to, first of all, kick our asses, second of all, win money. But what DraftKings is doing here, and this is really cool, is the Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball contest is a money loser for them. So first place is going to win, but places 2 through 30 are also going to win their $5 back. So 60% of people are getting paid out here, which is a really great opportunity. So take advantage of that. And of course, then, April 12th is the huge $150,000 walk-off contest. First place gets $50,000, second place gets 20 G's, and third place gets 10 large. Can't argue with that. There's a ton of play-ins available for that, so go to DraftKings.com and check it out.
The Razzball Podcast.
I have the pleasure of being joined by Rudy Gamble. Rudy, good morning to you. How are you today?
Doing well. Running on adrenaline, caffeine.
Because you were up all night working on the Streaminator because it is a mess because of the Houston Astros.
Oh, no. I mean, like, it just, yeah, it belches when it sees an Astros start. It says ERA 99.999.
But you know what? Even though the Streaminator isn't up
yet. And you know what happens when you turn that upside down.
Listen, we won't stay on topic because I know you really were up all night working on that and I don't want you to snap. So we'll keep moving. But in case of emergency, if you need to stream right now because all you drafted was middle relievers, just start whoever's going up against the Astros.
Or the Marlins.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. They look pretty bad too, but oh my gosh, the Astros are terrible. And they're striking out at like a record pace.
Yeah, they're without hitting like any homers or anything. Yeah, it's a pretty bad mix.
Ugly. So again, the reason we have just Rudy on today is because I have to travel. So, you know, it's all about me. So we are doing this bright and early. So we appreciate it, especially because you are in Texas. Hey, let me ask you a quick question, Rudy. If I was in Austin and I only had a chance to eat one thing, what am I eating in Austin?
You're going to Franklin's Barbecue. That's an easy one.
I'm getting all kinds of food tips here.
Yeah, Google that one. It's good stuff.
Good stuff. And is it kind of, what's barbecue like in Texas? Is it saucy? Is it smoky?
Oh, it's yeah, you don't put sauce on your barbecue here. There's barbecue joints here that don't even give you forks and knives. They just give you like a butcher's sheet, and they throw some meat on it, and then you pay by the pound.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Brisket and jalapeno sausage are big here.
Jalapeno sausage.
Pork isn't really a Texas thing, but they'll serve you pork. It's really the brisket and brisket sausage are the two kingpins.
All right, that's making me hungry because I'm traveling to Arizona this week for a little vacation. I want to go to extended spring training. Actually, the truth of the matter is I won a contest and I get to go to the Diamondbacks minor league complex as a knuckleballer. So,
pretty nice. You better show some grit. You're gonna get kicked out pretty quickly if you don't. They'll trade you for 60 cents on the Canadian dollar.
Hey, remember those are oil-soaked dollars right now. Okay, so that's about $18 US.
Understood.
All right, let's talk a little baseball. So, Rudy, let me give you a couple quick questions here on some players and their early season starts. I'm curious if Chris Davis can keep it up. And I think what's interesting about Davis is when he came up a few years ago, I remember I was just enamored with him, as a lot of people were, because of the pure power. He is just coming into his prime age-wise. I think he's 27, if I'm not mistaken, playing in a good hitter's park. Has he finally figured it out? Can he actually be a 35-homer, 90 RBI, 100 RBI guy every year?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the power is real. I mean, there's a few guys out there, you know, Mark Reynolds I'd throw in that camp too, where it's like, you can't argue they've got superpower. It's just a matter of whether they connect enough. I don't think Davis has changed in terms of being, he's going to be a low average guy because of the high Ks. So, but could he be like a done in his prime year, like a 250, 40 homer year? And then, you know, if he hits in the, he's going to be hitting in the middle of the lineup, so you'd think 90-plus RBIs. I don't see why not. I mean, it's the safer bet's something like 30 homers, but the power is real there, and I think he really needed that change in environment that he just had to get out of Texas.
Yeah, he had to get away from the barbecue and get to the crab cakes.
But, yeah, it's got to suck for Texas when it's like, you know, Mitch Moreland really isn't tearing up the AL West these days.
Okay, let's talk about another guy off to a great start. A guy, first overall pick in the draft, Justin Upton, 5 home runs in his first 5 games. Obviously, we can just prorate that. He's going to hit 162 home runs, which is fantastic. But can he keep it up?
Yeah, the thing, I was pretty high on him. Both Gray and I were pretty high on him going into the year. We were hoping he'd kind of be that guy that, you know, people forget about and you get in the second round. Wasn't the case. He seemed to get drafted almost in all leagues in the top 15, with that between 11 and 15, like in every league. I see that he has the power. I mean, last year he had a wrist injury or so. Was it a thumb? He had something with his hand and wrist. That's
thumb.
That stuff just kills power. If you've seen his homers, they're all bombs to center field, maybe a little to right field. So, I mean, you're only hitting those if you're feeling healthy. So that's the thing. I think if he's healthy, I think 30, 35 homers is definitely there. Yeah, he's going to K, But I mean, I don't put him in the same category as a Chris Davis there. I mean, I think he could hit. He'll hit for a decent average. And you know, like what I'd like to see is a few stolen bases.
Who would you rather have going forward, Justin Upton or Andrew McCutchen?
Ooh, I still think McCutchen is a little bit ahead of him. Yeah, McCutchen's been. Yeah, I was surprised. I think McCutchen's got a few stolen bases already. I'm just not convinced it makes sense for the Pirates to let him steal.
Right.
So I just see a disincentive there that I always feel like his cap is at 20 unless he really, really wants to steal bases.
Okay, interesting. So we'll keep an eye on Justin Upton.
But I'd say McCutchen doesn't strike out as much. I feel like he's like a better bet for about 20 points in average, and that's where I think his advantage is over Upton right now.
Right. Well, both are going to be exciting.
But you know, it's all close when you're in the top 12.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Let's talk a little bit about Matt Harvey, because I'm pretty sure they're naming sandwiches after him in New York right now. What a start.
Against the Padres, though.
Well, thank you for bringing us back to Earth.
Yeah, that's the third team to stream against. We forgot about them.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's Astros, Marlins, Padres. I don't know the order except that the Astros are first.
You know what? I actually think...
Until my boy Chris Carter figures things out.
I actually think the Padres might actually be not bad this year. But listen.
Well, when Headley comes back, maybe. I mean, I like Alonso. I think he could put together like a 290, 20 homer season. Quentin can be a little dangerous. Who knows with Giorko, but yeah, I still think they're pretty bad.
Okay, so what do you think about Matt Harvey specifically, Padres aside? Is he a number two starter now, number three? Is he still a rookie? We just got to take some time with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's got the K potential. I mean, I'm picturing him like a Scherzer. I don't think he's an ace. He doesn't have the control. He's got like a four walks per nine history. And that to me says, you know, it's going to be hard to get past it into the seventh inning. You're going to use up a lot of pitches. Yeah, and if you can't hit the strike zone, it's also going to be when you hit the strike zone, you hit the wrong part of it, and you throw a fastball down the middle.
Right.
That's kind of the double-edged sword that you saw guys like John Axford hitting this weekend. So I think of him as kind of Scherzer, not Verlander, so a second starter versus first, and he's the type that I'd want to pair with, at least for now. I'd pair with someone who's kind of a good whip guy who might be a little less on K's. Like, I mean, I think Josh Beckett seems to be that type right now that will get you that 1-2 whip, but you know, he won't have a great ERA.
Okay, you mentioned actually. You know what? I want to talk about John Axford and the Brewers bullpen, but let me ask you a quick question. One last question about Harvey. Would you rather have Matt Harvey or Jose Fernandez, who we talked about last week a lot, who looked real sharp?
Long-term, it's Jose Fernandez. Next year, I'd probably say Jose Fernandez. This year, I'd say Harvey's probably going to pitch 40 more innings than him. If both stay healthy, I think Harvey's a better bet for 180 versus 140 from Jafer. So I think that would be the difference why I'd take Harvey.
Okay, interesting. Let's get back now to Axford. Blew another save, not looking good. Some people think Jim Henderson is next in line, which is interesting, except I watched him play for Team Canada in the World Baseball Classic. I don't think he's next in line. I actually think it might be Mike Gonzalez, who a lot of people forgot about, had a couple good years back with the Braves. Who are you picking up in that bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, right now Henderson's number two. I agree with you. The reason why we have Axford on a couple teams, he just seemed to be like the last guy at that tier when we had to draft relievers. We weren't happy about it. But I think we couldn't handcuff him anywhere because they don't have a good handcuff there. Their bullpen, it really doesn't have anyone that's screaming out as a replacement, which should give Axford more rope. In most leagues, I'd say even up through 15, I'm not taking it. I'll take Henderson maybe if I own Axford. Otherwise, I don't want anyone there where I'd be a little more willing to gamble on like a Kelvin Herrera in Kansas City just because he's a decent reliever in his own right.
Yeah, Herrera's very good. I saw a lot of people pick him up after Holland blew the save this weekend. I do think, again, I'm in a league where I really messed up my bullpen in the draft, so I am desperately seeking saves. So I picked up Gonzalez because Henderson wasn't available, but I think there's a shot Henderson might, or Gonzalez might wind up closing, even though he's a lefty. But he did it before for a short term in Atlanta, and he was very good.
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, in daily leagues, I really like middle relievers and relievers in general. I mean, I'll take a closer over a middle reliever in general. But I like having a bunch of those. So if you're struggling for saves, I think it's you take maybe that just skews your middle reliever pick, where instead of a David Robertson, who's probably a bad bet for K's, but very good, you start gambling a little bit more on the Jim Hendersons and Mike Gonzalez's.
Hey, any chance we're going to see Jason Mott this year?
That's a tough one. I mean, the elbow strain sounds pretty bad. I mean, I think based on the news, it sounds more likely than not for Mott. But, I mean, there's a real... I went pretty hard on Boggs in a couple leagues, and now I'm almost regretting not... The only reason I probably didn't go harder on Boggs was that I just don't... If Mott's hurt for the year, I think Boggs' chance of keeping the position's probably only like 60, 70%.
Think it'll be Rosenthal?
No, Rosenthal or Salas. If I'm the Cardinals, I don't know if I'm limiting Rosenthal to bullpen, but, you know, where I'd keep it open. But Salas could pitch there as well. It's one of those with relievers that it's just the field. And there's you know, Boggs is very good.
Right.
You know, but then again, I mean, 60 to 70% feels like most closers these days. You've got about 10 or 12 bullpens where I wouldn't put the odds much better that the guy keeps it for the year. And Holland just entered, I think. Holland's kind of entering that territory now. Axford's firmly in it.
Okay. We'll pay attention to that. Smokey, of course, always has a column on the Closer Apocalypse. I think he calls it Closer Apocalypse. So you can always follow that, of course, on Razzball.com.
Yeah, it's going into its second year.
There you go. So Sunday was an interesting day because it seemed like every ace got blown up. But one guy who looked particularly bad is someone I want to talk about, Dan Heron of the Nationals, because a lot of guys had him as a, let's call it a sleeper.
Well, he pitched Saturday.
Pardon me?
Did he pitch Saturday? Did he pitch? Because yesterday
be right.
Was Strasburg.
Yes, I'm sorry. You are correct.
But he wasn't good either.
No, he was. No one looked good on Sunday.
If Strasburg's getting hit, you know Heron's getting hit.
Dickey, Kane, everyone got washed. But what about Heron? Because a lot of people had him as an under-the-radar pickup this year. What do you think about him?
I'm not a slave to things like fastball speed and some of the component stuff. I know there's other drafters in expert leagues who will just basically draft on that type of profile.
Right.
But with Heron, I mean, and I'd say Lincecum falls under this, Jared Weaver, there's a point where you need fastball speed. The thing, you know, where Heron and Weaver are different than Lincecum is that they have plus control, great control. But if they miss in the zone, it's going to get hit hard. And Heron doesn't have, like, that crazy, you know, the Weaver's got him on motion and angle. So I look at Heron, I'm like, this guy seems really hittable. I don't see, like, you know, he might be able to get a decent K rate only because he's going to get the pitchers, but I didn't like him. I haven't drafted him in a couple of years because of the declining fastball speed, and I kind of see him as, yeah, probably, I wouldn't have him in a 12-team league.
Interesting. You wouldn't even roster him in a 12-team?
Yeah, deeper league. Maybe. I mean, the control's so good that his whip might be okay. But I picture, you know, a full season being 30 home runs. I see a lot of home runs. I see a lot of hits.
Right.
And some pretty terrible innings.
Okay. One.
Some big innings there. So, yeah, I'm not a fan. Him, Lincecum, and Weaver, I think's a little... Weaver has a better chance, but I feel like Weaver is going to be in that category sooner versus later. I would definitely sell on him if I had him in a keeper league.
Okay, one more player I want to talk about. Dexter Fowler, does he finally break out into a 290, 2020 type player?
Yeah, he's the toolsy type that, you know, like I think tends to get overdrafted in leagues. And when they go underdrafted, then I like to take a gamble on them. But I don't see how he's really... I don't see it. He had 300 last year, but needed a 390 balls in play in order to do it, because he still has high K rates. I'm not convinced at all he'll ever be a stolen base guy. You can't have speed like that and have 12, 13 stolen bases in a year. I think I put him in that category as, Greg gives me, the S word. I call Adam Jones in the category that Granderson and Bernie Williams were, where it's like, they look really fast. They're not going to steal more than 15 bases.
Right.
They just don't have the skill. So I don't believe in Fowler's speed. Average, I mean, you get it 280, but he's never going to be a high average guy with that K rate. Now, he's hit four homers this year. It's tough to say, like, do I really think he's turned the corner and is going to become a 30-homer guy? I don't see it.
All right, interesting.
So I'd be looking to trade him because I think he's over. He's basically over his head on power. He's not going to hit better for average than last year, and you still might have people thinking he steals 20, 25 bases. So if you can get an offer for someone thinking he's 20-20, I think I said this in today's post, I'd trade him. But, I mean, I'll be honest, I'd rather him than probably my last two outfielders in just about every league. I like him, but I don't think he's truly turned the corner, except maybe in power. I'm not close enough to know, but it's hard for me to see him hitting more than 20 homers. But that's definitely a nice bump over last year's 13.
All right, fair enough. Just quickly before we wrap up, you finished third in the Play with Rudy and Nick from Razzball contest at DraftKings.com. That was great. Third place.
Yeah. And how many people did we have in it by the end? It was close to 50, right?
Yeah, it was pretty close. And that was just for Razzballers.
Yeah. Now that
exclusive.
Yeah, that went well. I mean, it was pretty straightforward. It's the first time I played it. Darvish against Houston was such an easy pick.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people went with him, but it almost became that you had to have picked Darvish in that format. And I was that Texas Houston game I just loved. I mean, I took Berkman as well, and that worked well. But I have a crush on Berkman.
So did I.
It didn't help me. I think Pazinski and Moreland, you know, I went cheap on first base and it hurt me. But yeah, I think what I learned in that one is that, yeah, you've got to make some good picks. And I had a bunch. You really have to nail your pitcher picks. And I went with Ryu on the Dodgers. And I probably should have went with Iwakuma. I was good on two Asians. I just picked the wrong second Asian.
Well, you know, this week I played just for fun myself at DraftKings.com. And what I did was I tried a different strategy. I went heavy, heavy on hitting. I spent all my money on hitting, and I tried to find two pitching matchups. I hit one of them. The other one I didn't hit. But I was trying to look for, I was trying to zig when everyone else was zagging. But this week we're playing on Wednesday, so that is on the 10th. It is the next Play with Rudy from Razzball contest, so you want to log on to DraftKings.com and come and kick our asses. Don't forget, too, Rudy and I are playing with our own money on that.
Yeah, I got house money I'm playing with
and
now.
And don't forget, though, that's our money, okay? So we're really in there playing with you. So you can join us and come and try to kick our asses, or at least kick my ass, because Rudy obviously is more established.
No, I've got $5 that's Razzball Reader's money. That's what I'm playing with right now. I doubled my money with my third place finish.
There you go. And don't forget, this week in that contest, you can still win an entry into $150,000 walk-off, which happens April 12th, which is very exciting. So you want to play just for that because that's a $200 value. Rudy, thanks for joining us. Of course, you can follow my man, Mr. Gamble, at Rudy Gamble. You can follow me at Nick Capozzi, C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I. And if anyone has any Phoenix restaurant recommendations for me this week, tweet me up. Let me know.
Pizzeria Blanco.
That's what everyone says, but it's like a four-hour wait.
Can't say it enough. You got to go.
It's like a four-hour wait.
Your last name's Capozzi. You have to go.
Thanks for joining us today, Rudy. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.